Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good evening and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Lingwin, hoping you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day. God knows how much we need it and wants to share it with us. Especially the joy you experience when you share then that love with others in the problems that we are facing in this age and almost in every age. More about that a little bit later, but I'd like to begin a program, as we do each week, with a story that is based on faith and form with imagination. Jesus sat on the hillside, looking out at the blue waters as waves lapped upon the shore. When Andrew and Judas approached him, Jesus said, "Come, sit with me. It is so peaceful. I feel I'd like to stay here forever." Judas replied, "Yes, it is peaceful here, but give me the city anytime, with all the people, its many smells, the different merchandise, the laughter, and even the crime. That's living." Andrew responded, "I don't prefer either of those places. I'd like to go back to the temple and spend time with my father, reading the scriptures." Jesus nodded. Andrew had been with him less than 30 days, and already he longed to return to his reading. Jesus said, "One must also learn from everyone and everything around him." Peter approached Jesus and asked, "Master, what will we do if you ever leave us?" Jesus smiled gently and answered, "You will go on living. Have I not taught you? Life is like the waves which continually flow up and down, in and out." Jesus said, "Master, I remember you saying life is filled with many mysteries." Jesus nodded, and Judas continued speaking, "Well, when you were gone, for you have said all men must die, how can we make decisions because you are the one who has taught us so well?" Peter shook his head and said, "Judas, you make no sense." Jesus responded, "Yes, Peter, he does. For there are many decisions you, my friend, must make," as he pointed to Peter. "The words you will speak and the decisions you will make will be remembered through many lifetimes. The ability to make decisions is a precious gift. Many times decisions are painful, but they must be made nevertheless. I cannot live forever, as no man can, but my words, my thoughts, and my deeds will continue to be passed from one generation to the next. Remember, we can learn. We can learn from the mistakes we make. Decisions are surely a part of life, as much as the sun that rises in the morning and the distant light at night which guides us. Our guest this evening writes in her latest book titled A Feast for Hungry Souls, subtitled Spiritual Lessons from the Church's Greatest Masters and Mystics. Indeed, it is a feast. This book is a feast, and our souls these days are certainly hungry. And there are many lessons we have to learn. Many of them are spiritual lessons that Jesus has taught us. But again, she writes in her book, who of us can know the mind of God? In this informational age, we seek answers to every question, yet we are so often lost in the drought-stricken climate of selfism, individualism, and functionalism. We risk losing respect for our human dignity, for our eternal calling in the Lord, and for the fulfillment of God's plan in our lives. All too often, we seek to master the mystery rather than allowing the mystery to master us. Our sense of the sacred suffocates us under the weight of noise pollution, talking heads, and weariness of any authoritarian voice or self-revelatory reflection. No wonder exposure to the teachings of these ancient masters may be a shocking experience. Popular psychology lauds self-actualization and shudders at the thought of self-mortification, preaching revenge and eschewing forgiveness until we find it unbearable to sit with our own thoughts. Still, the ancients remind us there are times when words must give way to silent presence to the mystery. Out of this depth of inner stillness comes prayers, sighs, and songs celebrating every experience from the glory of new birth to the shadow of death. These masterful texts remind us to acknowledge our creaturehood and never delude ourselves into playing God. They teach us that our deepest identity is reducible not to what we do, but to the essence of who we are. Only from this transcendent perspective can we resist the temptation to live by untruths that neglect the splendor of the whole and holy to whom we bow in adoration. And the author of this book and those words is Dr. Susan Mudo. She is the executive director of Epiphany Association, one of our most frequent and best guests. She's a renowned speaker, an author, teacher, dean of the Epiphany Academy of Formative Spirituality. She's an expert in literature and spirituality, as this book will reveal. And she continues to teach courses on an adjunct basis at a number of schools, seminaries, and centers of higher learning. And she is a frequent contributor to scholarly and popular journals. She's the author of more than 30 books. Many of them we've had on this program over many years, among them 12 Little Ways to Transform Your Heart and the award-winning Gratefulness. She's the author with Reverend Adrian Von Kamm of more than 40 books, including Commitment, Key to Christian Maturity, and The Power of Appreciation. She lectures and leads conferences, seminars, workshops, institutes nationally and internationally. She's received many distinctions for her work, including a Doctor of Humanities degree from King's College, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. She was honored in 2009 with a Lifetime Achievement Award by the Catholic Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania. Dr. Susan Mudo was also the recipient of the 2014 Aggiornamento Award presented by the Catholic Library Association. And she lives here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, especially in that part where I, too, grew up. Dr. Mudo, welcome back to Amplify.
Thank you, Father Ron. Always a joy to be with you and to hear your voice. And thank you for the lovely welcome.
Wow, this is a great book. It is a feast. It's titled properly, A Feast for Hungry Souls. Our souls are always hungry. I think they exist in that way, to know more. But at this particular time in life, in history, certainly we need to reflect on some of the spiritual lessons that we have been taught by some of the greatest teachers and mystics in the church, in the world. So thank you for writing this book, and I think that it is written in some sense with and for Adrian, the father of Adrian von Kamm, whose birthday, 100th birthday, would have been this year.
Yes, all the more reason for my dedicating a feast for hungry souls to Father Adrian. I note in that dedication the spiritual master who inspired me to return to the ancient, medieval, and modern roots of my faith tradition. And I really pray that this book will encourage every reader to do the same. You know, we're very interested in our roots. You talk about ancestry.com and so on. But how many of us really understand the treasure that awaits us in over a 2,000-year faith and formation tradition? So I think one of the inspirations for writing this book, which really has been in the making for many, many years through class after class of honoring ancient, medieval, and spiritual masters, was to make sure that our generation never loses touch with the roots of our faith tradition.
I'm learning more and more you can't have everything. You can't teach everything. Can't tell everything about a book in even the 2 40-minute segments of this program. So what I've tried to do, and you have 30 examples in your book of some of the spiritual lessons that are important for us to reflect on and to learn. I've tried just to pick one point out of one of them, one question. I figured if I had 30 questions, I've already covered all the time, and won't even cover those 30. But you begin by speaking about teachings from the desert tradition on the flight to freedom. What does it mean? The title of this chapter is Quiet Your Head and Hear With Your Heart. How do we do this, and to what end?
Well, it's important that you focused on the title of the chapter, because each of the 30 chapters is purposely titled with a spiritual directive, with a suggestion that we would want to put into action in our here and now life. It's absolutely fascinating that already in the century where the desert fathers and mothers were writing, there was such a desire to be still and know that I am God. In other words, not just to intellectualize about God, but to know God. And to know God was agreed in the whole desert tradition. We have to flee from everything that distracts us in order to be free to hear what the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has to say to our heart. So that theme, the flight to freedom, in other words, step aside from everything that distracts and worries us from morning till night, so that we can listen to the still small whisper of the Spirit in our heart, and then go forward to do what the Lord asks us to do. This is a perennial theme of spiritual deepening, a theme that can actually be traced through all 30 masters that we visit in this book.
You're right about how we need to experience and know God intimately and personally, and nothing should replace our reliance on grace. We are to be in the world, but not of it, and we must free ourselves from attachment to all that is not God, and to find our inner desert in this particular chapter. The second one is run away from evil and run toward God, and you write, be God-centered. Our embrace of this practice forces us to face how much our heart has been ruled by disordered impulses and passions, typical more of a world-centered than a God-centered existence. Only when we relinquish what we doom to be essential for our happiness do we begin to make real progress in the life of prayer. Amplify on that, especially in light of what's happening in our world today.
Well, how could anything be more timely than this counsel from a spiritual writer of the first four centuries, Evagrius Ponticus, who really was breathing the two lungs of Christianity, the Western lung and the Eastern lung, but he had an uncanny ability to explain how our very heart is a battlefield between virtue and vice, and how we really have to pay attention to the fact that the evil one and evil surrounds us, and that we mustn't ever underestimate the power of evil to dissuade us from God-centeredness. So just those words strike me anew as being terribly important in our day. Instead of running toward evil, which might be symbolized by rioting and looting and burning, instead of running toward evil, if we really want to maintain some kind of inner integrity, we have to run toward the good. And that good, of course, is everywhere around us. I mean, running toward the good may be about taking care of a neighbor who needs food. So these tensions between good and evil are as ancient as the human condition, and we're lucky to have Evagrius because, by the way, he was the first writer in the history of the church that actually cataloged what became the eight capital vices and later on the seven capital sins with Saint Gregory the Great, who is also represented in the medieval section of the book. But pride, vainglory, avarice, lust, anger, envy, they're writ large in our world today. No wonder we need a little counsel to try to manage our interior life so that we're not so swept away that we forget God.
The third title is Seek the Lord and Let Yourself Be Found, Gregory of Nyssa on the Soul's Ascent to God. And the part of what you bring out in this particular chapter is that that he is taught that the nearer we are to God, the more we see that he is incomprehensible, since God always transcends anything we can know of him. And so that should not push us away because we can't know, but the desire should always be to want to know more, shouldn't it?
Well, yes, because God discloses himself to us and yet conceals the depth of his mystery, but it's just that fascination with the mystery that brings us near and that nonetheless enables us to respect that we are not God, that God is always transcending. And Gregory of Nyssa, who wrote the great classic The Life of Moses, really wants us to have the courage to make that trek to Mount Sinai, but to reserve the fact that we can never, ever penetrate the ultimate unknowability of God. But you see, that's what stimulates our hunger, that we're always hungering for the more than. This was a very favorite theme of Father Adrian von Kalm's. In fact, he said what marks us as distinctively human, different from any other form of life, animal or plant, is that we are always going beyond and going more deeply into, always arriving, never fully arriving, because of the intense attraction of the triune God and the ultimate mystery that, again, reveals itself in Jesus and yet conceals its ultimate meaning that can no eye can behold. So Gregory is very poetic, but I think he tries to say to us, you'll never stop seeking the Lord. And the more you seek him, the more the Lord will invite you to go on and on and on, all the way up the mountain.
Okay, need to break in right now. Welcome back to Amplify with our guest, Dr. Susan Mudo, who is someone we've had on often. She has so much to teach us through the spiritual lessons she has learned from some of the church's greatest masters and mystics. And every time she writes a book, I tend to think this is the best book she's written. And I'm going to say the same thing about this one, A Feast for Hungry Souls. And part of the reason why, too, is I think it's what is so helpful is at the end of the book, she goes through the 30 chapters of the book and has like four, five, six lines, a brief summaries of the timeless and timely themes that can feed our hungry souls at any time in our life. And we could just look at these various chapters, this 30 summaries, read them, and then go back to the book and read more fully some of the lessons we can learn there. And so, Dr. Mudo, I really love this book for the way it's structured and not only for the truths that it presents.
Well, thank you very much. And because it's hot off the press, let me give two numbers where our listeners can call in and receive a copy by ordering it through Epiphany. At 412, this is the local number, 412-341-7494, and then toll-free, 877-324-6873. That's 877-324-6873. It's wonderful that our supply is here, and I would just love to share a copy with your readers. And thank you for noticing the structure of the book, because you really nailed my intention in having the short summaries of the 30 spiritual writers, the 10 ancient, 10 medieval, 10 modern, at the end of the book, also to show everyone how the oldest of the old really becomes the newest of the new. These themes are literally etched into the very fiber of our Christian Catholic faith tradition. Moreover, I structured each chapter so that at the end there are some guiding questions under the title Reflect Now and then Read More if one is interested. I say that because I think A Feast was also designed to be helpful in small faith group sharing in our various parishes, to say nothing of being an excellent a textbook, let us say, in a seminary, or I think a gift book that people in leadership would want to offer our population, especially since many of us have read and digested books like the Catechism of the Catholic Church, but we honestly sometimes have a problem. Who are these people that are mentioned in the footnotes? Who's Gregory of Nyssa? Who's Augustine of Hippo? Who's Bernard of Clairvaux? And that was part of the hidden agenda of writing this book, that we really want not to be the first generation of Christians and Catholics who don't know enough about their great tradition to pass it on.
Let's, you mentioned Augustine of Hippo, which is the fourth chapter, Say Yes to Grace and Change Your Life. And then I'm going to ask you to select where, to which chapter you think we should go, given where we are at this particular time. If someone was to were to ask you, with what's happening in our world, with the racism that is raising its ugly head, and with the virus and the virus getting stronger in some states, and just so many different problems that we are facing, to say, Who might we think of, or who? What lessons can we learn? St. Augustine speaks about conversion of the heart, and you write that the heart is not merely an organ that registers the way we feel. It is the center of our being, where the battle between the good that we would do and the evil that we would rather not do rages in us, until the tears of compunction give way to full compunction. And that battle, of course, is going on in many hearts at this particular time. How is it that his suffering made sense to him? How can we make sense of our own suffering?
Well, we have to acknowledge the desperation that we see and feel all around us. If there was ever an epidemic of spiritual hunger, it is now. That's often characterized by disgruntlement and confusion, and the harder I try, it seems like, again, the behinder I get. And the level of frustration cannot be satisfied just with feeding ourselves organically. The spiritual hunger needs to be fed, certainly by Holy Scripture and by, I think, reading a spiritual writer like Augustine, because he lived in an age full of isms. I mean, racism is a terrible ism, but he lived in an age of Manichaeanism and Gnosticism and Pelagianism and every kind of heresy you could think of that severed people from deep respect for the whole person and for human dignity. Deep respect for the fact that we are God's creatures. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And it took a while for Augustine to come to that truth. He was aided by his mother Monica, by Saint Ambrose, but there was a moment when he knew that he had to make a choice, either go on with this life that made no sense ultimately and that was full of irritation, even hatred, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and undergo that deep turning, that deep metanoia, so that the poison in his heart, which was very, very definitely there, could be relieved by the gentle love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think Augustine is a spiritual warrior, and I think that reading his confessions and certainly the way which I present them in chapter 4 is enormously relevant today.
All right, we've been through 4 chapters, and it's 9:46. We have 15 more minutes here and 40 afterwards. Let the Spirit direct you as to which chapters you would like and which spiritual teachers you would like to say something about.
Well, we certainly have given some good credence to the first of the ancients, the desert tradition, Zagreus Ponticus, Gregory of Nyssa, and Augustine of Hippo. And I think if we could shift now to some examples from the medieval masters that are incredibly relevant today, I think that we have to bring up from chapter 13 it is, and that is on Francis and Claire of Assisi, which is titled Depend on God for Everything. If this is a time that we're all experiencing deprivation of some sort, whether it's deprivation caused by social distancing or, for that matter, the deprivation that is felt or when so many people in nursing homes and elsewhere have actually succumbed to this virus. So that simple directive reminds us that we are not our own saviors. We are not our own rescuers from these difficult times. And so here you have a chapter on Francis Sinclair that speaks to us of the fact that we need to depend on God. I mean, Francis changed his life from a very wealthy person that could just about do whatever he wanted to hearing this mysterious message, Francis, repair my church. So each of us needs to, in a way, ask ourselves, what in our world needs to be repaired? What in our church needs to be repaired? I mean, we've gone through some scandals in the church that have also stripped many people of their sense of faith. So there is a lot that we can learn from the example of Francis and Claire, insofar as they knew that when the times are as difficult as our own, we are not enough to get ourselves into a place of peace. We need to depend on God for everything. And I love that message.
One of the chapters that I marked off was that Claire epitomizes the Franciscan ideal of faithfulness to Christ in poverty of spirit and purity of heart, Her love for the cloister complemented his zeal for the salvation of souls. Together, these two disciples became one epiphany of the mystery of redemption. If Francis was fire, it was Claire who struck the match. If Francis was oil, it was Claire who lit the lamp. And we all have a special person like that in our life, I think. It could be a spouse. It could be a friend. And for you, in some sense, if I can say it, it's Father Adrian von Kalm. And there is, we're just complementary in many ways. And even though we're different, we can work together.
Absolutely. And there are some wonderful examples throughout the book of these partnerships in the mystery of redemption. For instance, chapters 19 and 20 on Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. Another example of how important it is that we respect the gifts that God has given us. Male and female, God created them in God's own form and likeness were they made. I think in our times, too, a wonderful counsel comes from the English mystic Julian of Norwich. It's very familiar, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. It's hard for us to accept that when we're in the epicenter of such turmoil, and yet Julian's conviction through the black plague that was really devastating Europe. She's writing her showings or her revelations of divine love and teaching us the importance of trusting in divine providence. I feel that that message is extremely necessary to give us the patience to weather this storm and to know that God is good and that we can ultimately trust in the providence of God. And if we can believe Julian, who lived through the Black Plague, then all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well.
If I go back to 19 and 20 to Teresa of Avila, she describes herself as a woman of common sense who experiences an uncommon passion for God. And you write that Teresa begins her teaching on fraternal charity by showing what can go wrong in our attempts to love one another. We err because our love is either excessive or defective. We love too much or too little, too possessively or too indifferently. And she suggests 4 degrees of prayer and praying as Jesus has taught us to pray. And then John of the Cross, we can say something, I would think, about his concept of the dark night of the soul.
Yes, I'm so happy that we focused in on that because, again, many of us, if we are honest with ourselves, this is a midnight moment. Yes, there is the dawn, and yes, there is the twilight, but this is a midnight moment. Where are you, God? Where is the decency and this emphasis that is so important in Christianity on respect for life and the dignity of every human being? Has nothing to do with race, color, creed, or religion. We are all God's children. And so in that midnight moment, which John of the Cross describes, the dark nights of sense, I mean, many are feeling sensual deprivation. They can't go to the favorite store that they went to. They don't realize that they're living in the dark night of the senses, but they are. And the dark night of the spirit is that time when we feel uncertain of whether God really is listening to us and hearing our prayers. But then you have St. John reminding us that, hey, wait a second, in the midnight moments of life, what he calls naked faith in the midnight moment is the only proximate means of union with God. So fear not. I mean, despite all of the deprivation sensually and spiritually, we are closer to God than perhaps we realize.
And you write that woven by St. John into the tapestry of his work and validated by his life is his insistence that only when we are reduced to nothing, to the highest degree of humility, can the spiritual union between our souls and God be accomplished. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, it's typical of St. John of the Cross that he truly does live in what Adrian and I called in one of our co-authored books, the power of appreciation. He is a master in appreciative abandonment to the mystery, that the intimacy that is ours by virtue of our baptism is the strongest bond that we have with God, and that we can really trust through the purifying nights of deprivation and the illuminating moments of reformation that we're being drawn into not only union with God, but I love the term that comes out very strongly in this chapter, intimacy with the Trinity. We'll find that intimacy spoken of again in the modern master, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. But the combination of take up your cross and follow Jesus, because the suffering is there, but so is the joy of intimacy with the triune God and the resurrected Lord.
And one of the common themes that we'll find throughout the book is about prayer, isn't it? The importance of prayer, the power of prayer. We find it in so many of the works of the spiritual masters. She talks about, she being Teresa of Avila, the call to love purely, the call to be detached, the call to be humble. So prayer is still something it appears that many people don't really understand today, the power of prayer.
Well, one of my hopes as we sit at this banquet table with the mystics and feast with them is that our prayer life will be infinitely boosted, and that we will understand a great deal more about prayer. For instance, again, to trace that theme, in among the ancient masters, chapter 5 is on St. John Cassian, who actually teaches us the way of unceasing prayer, teaches us what it means to say, "O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me." And so unceasing prayer is something that each and every one of the masters tell us a little more about. For instance, in the medieval masters, you come to the great author of The Cloud of Unknowing on the work of contemplation. He actually gives us a little 10-step program in how to pray, starting with a simple lifting of the mind and heart to God. And that's undoubted. We could learn from each of these great teachers something about the how-to of prayer, and I've really tried to pay attention to that in each chapter.
And I think that I love St. John Cassian's belief that we can unmask the deceptions in our spirit by not merely saying prayers, but by becoming living prayer, becoming prayer ourselves.
Isn't that beautiful? And
yes.
It goes back to one of the ideas even from the desert tradition, that prayer is to the spirit what breath is to the body. If we stop breathing physically, we will die physically. If we stop praying, we will die spiritually. So to compare prayer to breath is so important, and Cassian really emphasizes that breath experience. Oh God, come to my assistance. Oh Lord, make haste to help me. And of course, would very much honor in the earlier tradition the Jesus prayer, which is matched to our intake and outtake of breath. So really an important spiritual teaching.
We just have 1 minute before we need to take our next break, a little more than a minute. But you had mentioned the way of unknowing, and in this chapter, it's pointed out one of the things that I pulled from it is we live between two awesome unknowables, birth and death. And we see that in many forms these days. We live between two awesome unknowables, birth and death. When we face the great unknown, we can cower in fear or rise up in faith. And then you write also, to truly know God in a union descending all knowledge, we must let go of what is known by our senses and our understanding. So there's always a new way for us to come to know God. There's so many experiences, so many challenges in life, so many blessings in life that we need to be attentive to and to learn from, because they're lessons that God is teaching us at every moment. So we're approaching, rather than asking another question, we are coming to the end of this particular first hour, and our guest again is Dr. Susan Mudo. We are talking about her book, A Feast for Hungry Souls, and we are hungry souls these days with all the challenges that we face right now.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.